Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist, and best-selling author, and my dad, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Ryan Dobson here with my co-host, Lou Ann Crane.
And Ryan, for many listeners who have been with us for a while, they have heard you and me speak a lot lately about how your dad has been easing back into his broadcast duties as a result of a little tumble he took. And, Doctor, I really think it's about time for you to address the listeners, the many who sent well wishes, and give us an update. Let us know. Tell us a little bit about what happened.
You know, people have been so generous to me. They've sent flowers. They've sent cards. And
they've sent food.
They've sent a lot of food, which you helped me eat, and told me that they're praying for me.
Yeah.
And that's been very, very encouraging to me. You called what happened to me a little tumble. I think that's the understatement of the year. By the way, my voice is still funny because I was in the hospital for 17 days, and I had a lot of oxygen. And I don't know whether that has damaged my vocal cords or not, but I'm seeing a voice coach now, and she tells me I'm going to get over this. And I'm also going through physical therapy, and they're very encouraging to me. So I'm going to get well.
Well, you look terrific. You really do.
I'm so glad to be back. It's just very frustrating to be out there somewhere in a hospital, knowing that things are going on here that I want to be part of.
We're glad to have you back.
And, Doctor, I remember that first day you physically put your foot back in this office. You were doing some work off-site and everything. And just how moving it was for all of our staff as we gathered together. I think several of us got choked up, and we realized that the prayers of God's people, many people listening today, had been realized just in the fact that you were standing there whole and healthy, and we were so thankful to God for his hand upon your life.
Well, honestly, I could have died because of the way the accident happened. But the Lord protected me, and I'm very, very grateful
to
be here and to be recovering. Shall I explain what happened?
Please do.
Well, we were in Montana, and we were with friends, and I was riding a horse, which I love to do. And
well, Dad, you weren't just riding a horse.
Well, tell people if you must.
Yeah, Ryan, you were there,
I was. Those that have listened to us for a long time know that Dobsons are notoriously competitive. And there's an event called Cowboy Mounted Shooting. And from horseback, you've got single-action revolvers and a course set up with 10 balloons. And you ride and shoot at balloons with blanks. The powder coming out pops the balloons, and you're doing it timed. And there was a number of us competing in this event, and that's actually when the accident took place.
Well, I'm not real proud of my performance on that day because I didn't have any support. I had the reins in one hand and the six-shooter in the other, and all of my weight was on the stirrups, and that made me miss a lot of those balloons. And when I came all the way around to the end, that was starting to frustrate me. And
you were frustrated at losing?
What do you think? We were right at the end, and my hat blew off, and I turned around to grab it and took one more shot at a balloon that I had just passed. My foot came out of the stirrup. And when I wheeled around, I just kept on going. And I came down upside down. I came down on my back, and the gun preceded me, and I landed on that six shooter, which meant several things. First of all, it broke my clavicle, broke my scapula, just about everything that is...
That's a shoulder bone and a collarbone.
There you go.
Just about everything that is necessary for the shoulder to work. Also, I could easily have landed on the ground and had a concussion and bled out right there.
Well, I don't think people know. A lot of people do know that you had a stroke. But
13 years ago.
But the medication you take makes your blood very, very thin. And yeah. so an internal injury, a head injury, something like that, that will kill you.
Mm. Yeah. And well, and that's why landing on the gun, as difficult as that was, saved my life. Mm-hmm. Now, I could have hit my spine on that gun and been a paraplegic for life. So a lot of things had to happen to allow me to be here today, and I'm very grateful.
Ryan, we mentioned that you were there. Can I just ask you your recollection? I cannot imagine what you think is a fun competitive game all of a sudden turning rather horrific when you watch your beloved father take this fall.
Yeah.
What do you remember from that?
Everything?
Yeah.
It's amazing that time essentially stands still in an event like that. I was off.
I looked up at you and you were crying, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And maybe people don't know, but as your son, I've been in this situation before. I was in the situation when you had your heart attack. We were in the situation when you had your stroke. And I remember as you were falling, the first thought in my head was, not again. And I thought it was it. I did. Yeah. Because I know the medical condition and I know the medication that you take, and I just didn't know. I didn't think you'd make it. And when I got to you, I thought you were dying. So it was.
Well, that's going to make people say, what in the world were you doing on a horse given the blood thinner that you take? And that's a good question. I don't know.
Well, it is and it's not. You've ridden horses your entire life.
You
and
I
have ridden for years and years. It just never dawns on you that something like that can take place until it does. Mm. And you've now said that you won't ride again. I was surprised by that, although not only do I understand the choice, I respect it because the risk is too great.
Doctor, it just reminds me of what you always preach so often, the brevity of life.
Oh,
and that's
absolutely.
Exactly what Ryan is describing. Yeah. We're talking to people right now who've been there. They've seen, so to speak, their life flash before them, or they've watched a loved one in a crisis like that. That stays with you forever. And yet sometimes those are the moments that force you to come to grips with the brevity of life.
Well, I want to hasten to say that before this injury, I was entirely healthy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had a heart attack 21 years ago, and there's been no recurrence of that. And the cardiologists tell me that my heart is really functioning normally. Mm-hmm. And then I had a stroke 13 years ago, and that only lasted essentially one day. So I'm a healthy man, but that's probably why I climbed on a horse. Mm-hmm. I am grateful to be alive, and I'm so glad to be back. And I want to thank all those people out there that have prayed for me. They didn't know the details, but they knew something bad
that's
had happened. Mm-hmm. And they wrote to encourage me. And I know there were thousands of people praying for me. Mm-hmm. And, I was in the hospital for a long time, counting rehab, 17 days. And I got tired of sleeping on my back, I'll tell you that.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Dad, can I interrupt you for a second?
Sure.
Sorry. Mm. Something took place when you had your heart attack. I was 20 years old. I was getting ready to go back to college. And Mom woke me up saying, your dad's had a heart attack. And everybody knows what that means or potentially could mean. We didn't know if you were going to make it. And we jumped in the car. I know I broke every speed limit on the way there because Mom was yelling at me to slow down, but I just couldn't imagine not talking to you.
Those have been very traumatic moments for you and for me
and for Danae,
relationship,
my sister,
the entire family.
But there's a conversation you and I had that you've spoken about many times, and it's the be there talk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I know that's meant a lot to a lot of people. where you said, if I don't make it. Promise me you'll be there. That when I reach the other side, promise me you'll be there.
Ryan, and that outranks everything else in life. I told you when you were 17 years old and Pete Maravich had just died in my arms, one of the greatest basketball players of all time. And I came home and I said, Ryan, what this emphasizes is that I care what you do with your life. I want you to accomplish things. I want you to turn your potentiality into actuality. But there's something more important than that. On that resurrection morning when we're together, again, if I precede you in death and probably will, I will be looking for you. I'll be looking all over heaven for you. And the only thing I will care about is that my family and the people I love and the people that we've tried to reach out to will be there. And that's the phrase that has come to kind of be immortalized in this ministry.
Yeah, it has. I know most people don't understand that for a 20-year-old, I didn't want to hear that. Not because of where my life was going, but I didn't want you to precede me. I couldn't imagine living, and still can't imagine what my life will be like when you do pass away. But what I've never actually said is, I will be there.
I know you will.
Amen.
And Luann, you will too.
Absolutely. Doctor, I'm just so struck. I mean, here we are, middle of October. It's so easy to get busy with the school year, and we're heading into the holidays. And life is rich and life is full with our families and our activities. But this is what it comes down to. And someone listening right now needs to hear that. In the busyness of this day, where they're driving all over the place, getting stressed out, there is nothing more important than knowing that your family, your children especially, if you're a parent, will be there on the other side. That's what I want to.
You know, Ryan, the other thing I said to you on that day is that Pete Maravich was 40 years of age. He had no notion of dying on that day. You never know. And, you know, here he was still in the prime of life and one of the great basketball players of all time. And yet he died in my arms. And so you never know when you're going to have that final conversation. That's why I came home that day and you sat on the couch and I said, Ryan, let's have it now. Let's talk about it now. And as a matter of fact, I had my heart attack 20 feet from that place on that floor 2 years
That's
later.
Right.
So you never know.
Well, it gives you perspective. There are so many things that we worry about, you know. Well, what's my kid going to look like and what's he going to wear and is he going to, you know, all the little things that we obsess over. And really, are they going to be there? Have you told them how important it is? You can't just hope that your belief system gets passed on. You can't just think, oh, well, they see me go to church. You know, they see that I read the Bible. Have you told them that this is the number one most important thing in life? That's it. Eternity is the most important thing. And if not, I mean, stop listening right now. Call your kids. Call your parents. Call your siblings and say, this is it. Above all else, this is most important.
And those moments of crisis, Ryan, really should result in us living the gospel like that, but living intentionally. And Doctor, I just think even this ministry right here, this Family Talk ministry that you have begun here in the latter stages of your ministry, everything we do here is intentional, because I think of scripture in Ephesians that says, make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. So the time that we've been given here, whether it's one more day or 20 more years. We're praying for many, many more years for you, Doctor. We prayed that this morning in our small group. We prayed Psalm 61, that the Lord would give you many, many more years. And I know people listening are doing that as well. Every single day of these years you've been given will be spent that
way. See, that's why we started Family Talk. It was not to continue to be a voice around the world and to have all of the accolades that come from being successful as a communicator. It was not that. It was that I saw that these remaining years of my life cannot be wasted.
That's right.
That message has to be emphasized. And that's why the mission statement for Family Talk is to preserve and promote the institution of the family and the biblical principles on which it's based, and to seek to introduce as many people as possible to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Specifically, the focus of the ministry is on marriage, parenthood, evangelism, the sanctity of human life, and encouraging righteousness in the culture.
That's right.
That's why we're here.
That's right.
And God has blessed it, and I'm very, very grateful. And that's why it's so wonderful to be back with you guys
so
today.
Oh, so good to see you here.
Well, Dad, we've been doing this for about 17 months. You know, we started on air May 3rd, 2010, with 400 names on our mailing list. You know, so many people, as I travel around, think you're still with Focus on the Family, and you're not. You've not been with Focus for almost 2 years now. And when we started this, you had 400 names. You can't build a ministry with 400 names. You know, you send a letter out, it used to be 7 million names, and you had to start over from literally scratch.
Yeah, you know, the mailing list of an organization is proprietary information.
That's right.
When you leave, you don't take it with you, and it would be wrong to try to do that. And therefore, you start over. Building a relationship people that can support you and so on.
Well, not every ministry does this. You know, you've promised our supporters and our listeners that you will never give away their names. You're not selling it to other lists. You're not giving it to anybody else. And that's why we started with just 400 names.
And today?
Well, by the end of this year, we're going to have 250,000 names on our list. We went from 400 17 months ago to 250,000, and that is a blessing.
And every one of those represents a family
That
is potentially hurting. And even if they're not, they desperately need what we just mentioned in our mission statement, Doctor.
You know, I don't want to turn this into a commercial, but it is also important for people to know not only about Family Talk and this nonprofit, but about every nonprofit today. They're all struggling. And we are. And even with 250,000 names, people are terrified about the economy, about whether they're going to have a job, about whether they're going to have enough money to retire, about whether they can pay for their medical bills with the new health care bill coming, whether Medicare is going to go away. People are scared. I mean, they are afraid. And therefore, they're squirreling their resources. And I understand that. Their ultimate obligation is to meet the needs of their families. And so people don't give a lot. They really don't. And our ministry just barely makes it. And as we come to the end of the year, November and December are going to be critical for us because, you know, that's the time of year when people need to step up and help you. And I rarely mention it because I hate it. I hate it. I despise it. And especially when my mailbox is full of letters from ministries saying, if you don't give, you know, and all these scary things that are being said, and they're probably true in most cases. But we're not going to do it. And we will just let people know what the need is like this, and then we will follow the leading of the Lord.
You know what's amazing, Dad? We have been scraping by. It's true. We are barely meeting our needs with support. And yet, we are still helping countless people and families. We get to help people all the time, and we hear responses back where we're sending books to people that can't afford it. And we've got our the people that answer our phones praying for people that need prayer. And we pass prayer requests out at our devotional time in the mornings, and our staff prays for people. And it just shows the power of the Lord. You know, Jesus had five loaves and some fish and fed 5,000. You know, didn't have enough to get by, didn't have enough essentially to meet the budget to feed 5,000 people, but the Lord blessed it and they fed the multitudes, and we're getting to do that. I mean, we scrape by, we look at the end of the month and go, are we going to make it? And yet if you look at how many people we get to talk to and how many people we can help be better parents and better spouses, it's a miracle.
You know, when I was lying in the hospital for those weeks, I was given an opportunity to think in a way that I had not had time to think about. And my monthly letter for November, you know, and I write a letter every month for those that are on the mailing list, talks about what it is we're here to do. It involves, as I said a minute ago, family, marriage, parenting, and evangelism. Those are our priorities. But I want to tell you, I watched more television than I ever want to see again during that time. And there is wickedness in this culture like I have never seen before. And the culture is drifting. It's drifting away from the Christian message. And in my November letter, I talk about my observations of what's happening. And I am very concerned. Prayer is the only thing that is going to save this great nation. And that's why Shirley's National Day of Prayer is so critically important.
Dad, it's prayer and people like you willing to obey God's call on their life. You could have retired after your time at Focus on the Family was over. You could have retired. Everybody would have understood it. And yet the Lord said, I'm not done.
That's right.
I know you've got nothing to start with. You've got no budget. You've barely got anybody on a mailing list. But I've got a mission for you. And you surrendered your life and you said, okay, I'll do it. I'll go back to work. I'll start from scratch. That's what it's going to take, not just to save our country, but the world.
What I heard in the hospital is the same thing I heard when I left Focus on the Family. The job is not done. Don't even think about it. And we're going to do what we can. We're going to fight for the family.
That's right.
And we're not going to compromise with evil. And if our listeners want a ministry to stand up and represent them in the culture, I would appreciate them helping to make it possible if they can.
That's right, Dad. And some people can't. And we want our listeners to know we're not just standing with you. We're here for you. If you're in trouble, if your marriage is falling apart, if you're struggling with your ability to parent and to guide your kids so that they will also be there in heaven someday, we are here for you. We have resources. We may be scraping by, but if you can't afford something, we're going to send it to you anyway because that is the number one priority of this ministry. We have followed your leadership, Dad, that we want our listeners to be great spouses and great parents, and anything we can do to help that, we're going to do. You can call us and we'll pray for you. You can say, I need resources. We've got free ones online, and the other ones, we'll send it to you.
Ryan, that is beautifully said, because that gets to the heart of what we're all about.
And Doctor, speaking of heart, your heart is poured into your monthly letters, which we mentioned earlier today. That's a great example of something we can provide to every single person listening right now, completely with our compliments. If you have not signed up yet for Dr. Dobson's monthly letter, go online, familytalk.org, and you can sign up there or give us a call, 877-732-6825, 877-732-6825. 732-6825. And as you've heard us discuss today, if you are one of those people who would be able to come alongside us financially after you've tithed to your local church, you always say that, Doctor.
Absolutely.
We would love to hear from you. But anyway, we can serve your family, familytalk.org. But Ryan, I'm remembering a letter from a woman in Iowa who reminded me that not everyone has a computer. So before we go, give the mailing address if someone needs to do it the old-fashioned way.
Of course. It is 540 Elkton Drive, E-L-K-T-O-N, Drive, Suite 201, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80907. And if you can think of anyone that you know who needs help,
that's right,
tell them about this resource, that they can call us, they can go to our website, they can send us a letter, because we are there for them too.
And if I can make a request of our listeners, tell them we're here. People still don't know. They still don't know. They think I'm retired, or they don't know about this ministry at all. Help us get the word out. Thank you, Luann. Thank you, Ryan. I love working with both of you.
And we love working here.
That's right.
And our listeners, thank you for listening in whatever way that you do, your local radio station, online, via podcast. We appreciate you. And we will see you tomorrow on Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson.
Want to go horseback riding, right?
Anytime.
No.